Hi, this is Sandy Rios, and you're listening to Sandy Rios 24/7. Well, today we're going to be talking to a J6 prisoner. His name is Chris Worrell. Now, my friend Julie Kelly has been covering so many of these cases in great depth. And before we listen to Chris, because it's sometimes hard to understand and hard to follow, I'm going to just play a clip of Julie describing his circumstances in an interview with Dinesh D'Souza. Let's listen.
So Christopher Worrell was raided. His home was raided last March. He was charged with a number of offenses, including allegedly attacking a police officer with pepper spray. So he has been detained ever since. He was moved to the D.C. jail from his home in Florida to the D.C. jail at where he's been since April. Chris Worrell suffers from non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. He also fell and broke his hand in May. And neither one of those ailments has been attended to by the monsters who run this DC gulag, who are doing everything they can to punish these Trump supporters. And so Judge Lamberth, who, as you noted, has kept Chris Worrell behind bars, denied his release in June and still has a motion pending before him to release him so he can go home and take care of his stage 3 cancer, which needs intensive chemotherapy and radiation, according to one of the medical examiners who looked at him. And so Royce Lamberth has been asking where the jail stood in terms of making sure he got the needed surgery and his cancer care. And the warden and the director of DC Department of Corrections refused to turn over those documents to the U.S. Marshals so they could take care of and make sure that Chris Worrell was getting the treatment that he needed. So by the time they finally turned those documents over, it was too late. Judge Lamberth was very irritated that his orders had been ignored. He found both of the warden and the director of DC DOC in contempt of court and then referred the matter to the Civil Rights Division of the Justice Department, claiming that not just Chris Worrell's civil rights were being violated, but potentially everyone inside that DC jail that now has about 40 January 6th defendants and wants them to investigate what's happening there. Will they? I doubt it. But at least it was, you know, a little glimmer of hope for the men who have been languishing in that jail for months.
That was the voice of Julie Kelly. Now, let me explain. That was 3 years ago. Chris Worrell has been in prison since almost the very beginning of this story, and he just was released the day that President Trump declared that he was pardoning the J6 prisoners. And so he joins us, and, you know, he's been very sick. He's still very sick. And so you'll need to listen carefully as he talks and tells his story and listen with patience because it is quite compelling, and I don't want you to miss anything. Well, again, this is Sandy Rios 24/7. You can call us at 662-821-2040. That's 662-821-2040. You can write us at sandy@afr.net. You can find us on any social media platform. You can listen to the show on all of those social media platforms, but you can also listen on any podcast platform that you like, whether it's Apple or Spotify, any of them. Or you can go to our home base, which is AmericanFamilyRadio.net, AFR.net, or you can go to my website, SandyRios.com. But first, as long as the abortion pill is legally mailed and taken in all 50 states, no state can be abortion-free. Abortion pills carry distinct risks to mothers and death to babies, and now accounts for over 60% of all abortions. Preborn's network of clinics shine a light into this darkness by offering free services to women considering the future of their baby, including the abortion reversal pill. This powerful remedy can help to reverse the curse of this toxic medication. Preborn reaches into the heart of babies and mothers with God's love and compassion, and to date, they have rescued over 300,000 babies. Your tax-deductible monthly support of any amount is crucial in the fight for life. Everything that you give goes toward life, and together with your giving and the work that Preborn is doing, we can reverse this horrible curse. Saving babies isn't just about one life. It's about saving the heartbeat of the entire nation. To donate, just go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. All right, sit back, take a notepad, and listen hard as we talk to just newly released J6 prisoner Christopher Worrell on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness. That we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
First, we have a list of pardons and commutations relating to events that occurred on January 6, 2021.
Okay, and how many people is this?
I think this order will apply to approximately 1,500 people, sir.
So this is January 6th. These are the hostages. Approximately 1,500 for a pardon.
Yes.
Full pardon.
Full pardon or commutation?
Full pardon. We have about 6 commutations in there where we're doing further research. Nice to see you again. So this is a big one. Anything you want to explain about this? We hope they get them. We hope they come out tonight, frankly. If you're expecting it. Approximately 1,500 people. Six commutations.
Were there any cases you did not commute or pardon of people?
We're looking at different things, but the commutations would be the ones that we'll take a look, and maybe it'll stay that way, or it'll go to, you know, full pardon.
And the order does require the Bureau of Prisons to act immediately on receipt of the pardons and commutation orders. Sir, this is an
Why don't we get that down so they can get them going right now?
Yes, sir.
Is that okay?
Yep, absolutely.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. By now, this is old news, but not really. That was a miraculous thing that happened. I personally felt that there was some doubt about that. I'd heard from my insiders in D.C. that there was some hedging, and I was just praying. I didn't even mention it to my J6 friends. I didn't dare. And so when he actually signed it on that Monday night, I joined the chorus of those thrilled, but not thrilled anything like my next guest. His name is Chris Worrell. He was incarcerated for 237 days. His ordeal was incredible. We're going to talk about what they did to him. He had cancer when he was incarcerated, and they refused treatment and other things, and that's caused his life to really spiral. And yet he's now pardoned. And so, Chris, first of all, good morning and congratulations.
Good morning.
Where were you were you like at home watching television when you saw that? How did you hear that you'd been pardoned?
I was still in prison at the Butner Low in North Carolina.
Wow. And how did you find out? Were you guys, did you guys have access to television?
Oh yes, we were watching. There was 4 of us involved that were involved in January 6th on that compound. So I was. We were all paying attention when we could, but we were also talking with outside, and I had my wife on the outside that was involved, and I knew in my heart Trump was going to do what he said. The man always does.
He does. I agree with you. I agree with you. I just, it's the people around.
He never doesn't fulfill his promises, and so I had that, but I also knew that the BOP was going to be dragged their feet. I know my wife had called them and been up to Butner that afternoon around 6:30 in the evening, and they told her flat out, they're not getting out till tomorrow. We don't have the staff. And we knew that was the game they were going to play. But lo and behold, it finally at 10:30 that night, the four of us were called down to the lieutenant's office and told, just bear with us. We're working through this. We've called people in. But it still took until 10 minutes to 4 that morning.
Wow.
I've never seen such incompetence in any corporate type atmosphere like that. I've seen some businesses that were incompetent, but they just don't care. What it comes down to first and foremost in their hearts. They do not have a care in the world about you.
Chris, I was, I'm not quite sure how to explain this, but I just left D.C. We were at the inauguration, and we were trying to beat that storm that came in the southeast, and so we were left sooner than we wanted to. And I ended up being on a media outlet talking about this, and I was watching the D.C. jail for a long time. And, of course, they did the same thing there. People were – it was 10 degrees outside. And they were standing between a service road, and I know you've been in that jail, as many jails. And they slow walked them, and they actually, as you know, Jeremy Brown, they told him he was going to get out, and they actually had him give away his stuff, and they had him in the lobby waiting with the prisoners. And then when the other prisoners left, they told him, oh, no, you're not getting out. These are the kinds of games they played. And for Marie Goodwin, who I know she's a good friend to both of us, Marie was telling me that down in Texas, they went to watch some people be released. I don't think this was your release, but they waited in the cold for hours and hours and hours. I mean, like what we're talking about, 5, 6, 7, 10 hours.
Yeah. It was like that in North Carolina. We were going to do a cold snap up there at that time. And that was like the night before was a colder night, but it was still freezing that night. And these guys were outside. I mean, we had guys show up from Virginia, another from South Carolina, and they were January 6ers, and they were volunteers helping to pick up people, driving where they had to go. People had donated, I won't throw names out there, but people had donated big time their jets, their pilots.
Wow.
Anything they could to get people home that night.
I saw...
The next day it didn't turn out to be, but...
Well, you know, I would say, you know, well, I don't know every place. There's too many prisoners to track all of that. But all the stories I've heard, I think there have been people everywhere. I haven't heard of anybody being released without somebody being there. And, you know, one last thing about the D.C. situation, and Chris, perhaps you know this. One more disgusting thing they did was they would release prisoners without anyone knowing, and they would take them to some place in the district. Now, the District of Columbia is a very dangerous place, as you know, and they would just randomly drop them off, not even clothed properly, and then their families would have to go find them. So this is the kind of thing the Bureau of Prisons did when they were releasing the J6ers. But, Chris, let's go back to...
Let's keep something importantly separate there. Muriel Bowser in the District of Columbia jail is not under BOP rule. They have their own regime. And the mistreatment, and this is this that word in itself does not describe what they did to many of us in there. But they literally tried to kill me while I was in there in 21. And the judge saw that finally. After my ninth time at going to court, it took to show them that they were not doing, there was no treatment for anything. It was severe mistreatment. And that judge, thank you, the same judge who gave me 120 months for January 6th, he did hold the jail and the Department of Corrections director in contempt of court in October 21 over my case because they got caught manipulating medical records and many other things. But nothing happened. The DOJ did nothing with it.
Oh, I know. I know you've told this. Well, I don't know how often you told this story, but let me read something on your behalf so people will have an idea of what you've been through. You were denied any cancer treatment for your non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. while incarcerated in the Charlotte County, Florida, and D.C. jails. Jail doctors refused to give you currently prescribed meds that were keeping cancer in remission. And I think you'd had it for 16 years and managed it just fine. The D.C. jail directors and doctors were caught lying and falsifying his medical records by the U.S. Marshals and a federal judge, and are currently charged with contempt due to their blatant and intentional disregard of Chris's medical needs. Now, I know there's a lot more to that story, Chris. And you were not sick when you went in. You were just on medication. But they refused to give it to you.
Yeah, I was on a cream compound that was specially made for my skin. And then I was on some other meds. And the D.C. jail, Dr. Crenshaw, who was the number two, and Dr. Mitchell, who was number one at Unity Healthcare, they sat me down one day and they told me that my doctor here in Florida wasn't qualified because of his current status as a doctor, what he's downgraded to. He's doing more other than man's medicine treatment, but for people, and he's done some great things. But he's almost over 25 years in the cancer world, a surgeon, et cetera. And they told me he wasn't qualified. They wouldn't give me my previously prescribed medications. And yet these people are barely doctors, and they're disqualifying this guy. They told me flat out, we're not giving you your previously prescribed medications. We're not doing it. And then lo and behold, you know, from April 13th to November 4th, I believe it was November 4th or 5th, and I walked out of that jail. I came home in stage 3, and I kept my cancer in check for a long time.
I read someplace that you actually had to have your jaw repaired. But there was also, was the mistreatment, were you there with, I used to talk to some of the guys in that jail. I never talked to you. I mean, in the early stages of this, Sean Jenkins was one of them. Well, Sean,
Shane,
that's sure. Right, Shane. Go ahead.
Sure, I know a lot of those guys. I was with them from April 13th to 21 until November 4th or 5th when Lambert, during my last hearing after the contempt, had me immediately pulled out of that jail. When I say immediately, I wasn't there 90 minutes after we got off the Zoom court. The marshals had me in their possession, and he feared for retribution and retaliation against me. And I had already faced that.
Wait, let me make sure I understand. Are you saying Judge Lambert filed for retaliation? No, what are you saying?
No, Judge Lambert pulled me out of that jail within less than 2 hours.
Okay.
At my court hearing, concern for retaliation and retribution.
I see.
He feared for my safety.
Yeah, okay,
he made
good.
It very clear during that my November 4th hearing.
You know, let me tell you something. Judge Roy Lambert, prior to this, had a good reputation. Mm-hmm. I don't know what
happened
to him. He gave you 120 months to serve. He was your judge, right?
Yes, ma'am, it was. It's one and the same. He did both actions. He literally got me home and saved my life from the D.C. jail. And then tried to take my life for 120 months. And I don't get it.
Well,
he knows the BOP. I find it, there's nobody around. I've had people tell me, they don't know how bad it is in the BOP and all that. And I'm going to find that and tell the people that's just a flat-out lie. Because I've found enough evidence to show that they know that prisoners die in BOP custody above and beyond anywhere else in the world in medical facilities.
Well, that's...
And I can tell you stories that will make your blood boil.
Well, and I want to hear them. I want to hear them because I know that's part, that's kind of, I feel, well, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but my understanding is that this kind of a mission for you right now to expose what's happening in the Bureau of Prisons. And, you know, with I would say on the D.C. thing, because I know more about D.C. than I do most places, there was a hatred whipped up toward you guys, not just by the jailers who were, as I understand, remember, they were Nation of Islam guards. I remember this. Wouldn't let you have chaplains. Wouldn't let you have religious services. You guys had to do all of that. You know, I have to tell you, Chris, this is not, maybe shouldn't say this, but I went to great lengths to try to find some pastor or assistant pastor. Anyway, I knew a lot of pastors in D.C. to go into that prison and minister to you guys. And, you know, I couldn't get anyone to do that. I am ashamed to tell you. I am ashamed to tell you.
They would have been put on the list.
Oh. Well, I was, there was a...
There was a lot of that.
Well, the good news about that is, as I recall, Shane kind of took the bill by the horns to be kind of the spiritual leader there. Am I remembering that correctly? Is that how you would describe it?
There was a group of us that did Bible study pretty regularly in there, and it was because we didn't have, if we didn't do it ourselves, nobody was going to be allowed in to come give it to us. But yet the rest of the jail, the Muslims were having their services in their own section down on the way to medical, near where the hair salon is, that was in operation as well for the other inmates. But we couldn't get haircuts. We couldn't get grooming. But you could walk us 3 days a week easily down the elevators and down the same hallway to medical, past all of these places, past the Muslim mosque on the right, past the Jewish center, past the barbershop and the hair salon.
So now, I did not realize, I guess I should have known that, because of home rule, D.C. is its own thing. You know, they do their own thing, and that's what makes this so wretched.
Sure.
But there's no excuse for these judges to do what they have done. There's no excuse. I don't think there were any of them. Roy, I guess this business of Judge Lamberth letting you out of compassion was about the only instance that I'm sure there are others, but not many. You all got the maximum sentence, and you got ignored and hated, and also scolded. Did you get scolded during the trial for what an insurrectionist you were? What a fill in the blanks. Did he do that to you?
Oh yeah, during a hearing, I can tell you about for sure. When I was sent home, and part of my two, I wasn't not allowed on the internet. And I wasn't allowed to speak to media. That was two of my the top two situations I had to adhere to when he did send me home. And even though I have no internet crimes, so my voice was silenced again. So when I came home, I went to I needed help. I was canceled everywhere. I couldn't get a job. I didn't have much money. I had a lot of health issues going on that I had no money for. And I felt like the government, which now, thank the Lord, the American people are starting to see what we've been screaming for 4 years. This was a setup.
Well, they absolutely are saying
our lives are still ruined.
I know.
We have nothing.
I know, Chris. But you know what? Let me just interject, and I'm not a Pollyanna, but you don't know how this is going to end. And I always think of that. There's a great verse that says, eye has not seen and ear has not heard what God has prepared for those who love him. You have no idea. You probably in an instant were pardoned. And I know you haven't really been able to enjoy the fruits of that yet, except for your freedom. But you know, this is just the beginning. This is just the beginning. And that's why we're talking. We're talking because we want people to understand. In fact, let me just say right now, if you want to help Chris and his wife, Trish, and I've got a little clip I want to play of his wife in a minute. It's givesendgo.com/4, Patriot Support. givesendgo.com/4, Patriot Support. That gives you updates and you can help him. Chris, your medications now, what's the circumstance? What is your circumstance with getting treatment?
Because I'm having to go through a bunch of diagnostic procedures that's going to take a little bit of time.
Okay.
I'm totally in a medically unknown state, although I do believe that I'm nowhere near in the condition I was when I came home in 21. I do have some other new stuff going on that I never had until, you know, the malnutrition kicked in the BOP. I mean, because there's nothing to keep you healthy in there. It's all fillers. it'll keep you alive, but it's definitely taken a lot of time off your life the way they feed us.
I want to read, there's an article that was in the Epoch Times, and it was first written in November of 2021. I think this involved you. I'm pretty sure it did. This was an incident where the headline was that J6 defendants are taken out of cells on stretchers. Does this ring a bell to you?
Yeah.
Well, why don't you tell us what happened?
You'd have to, it's been so long, you'd have to definitely go through the article with me to recall
the situation. What I understand is that one inmate, this is according to the story, would not put on a mask. And so the officers, the jailers, sprayed mace or some type of gas at an inmate and kept missing. And they just kept spraying it into the cells. And then it got into the air filters. And the lady...
So a few things, you just heard some minutes. A few things happened in that jail the day as I got removed. And this sounds like that this is part of that time. So you remember I was abruptly removed out of there. It was either the 4th or the 5th. I never remember the day.
Okay.
And taken down the road to Alexandria. At the same time that day, one of the guys was on the way back from a legal call, a legal meeting and that, and he was abused. I'll leave it at that. There was a few times, there was lockdowns. My situation created a huge problem, and retaliation became a huge issue for a little while there because I was exposing them. I didn't care. They had thrown me in the hole for 16 days right before they got me out of there. There was all kinds of things. Major Talley had told one of my attorneys, if I file one more grievance, we're going to put him in the hole. And then lo and behold, I end up in the hole with no disciplinary report or anything. It's just they did what they wanted to do to us, and violence was part of it.
Chris, let me ask you, as much as you can say, I'm going to ask you, and you can, you know things that I don't, so I'm not forcing you, but I want to ask you. You said they abused a prisoner, and you didn't say what they did, and you didn't seem to want to say. Can you tell us? Can you tell us in a way that can go out over radio? Give us an idea of what you're talking about?
It was physical, mental, and 3 violations.
Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
As abortion continues to rise, Preborn is expanding their life-affirming care in the darkest corners of our nation to help more hurting women and save more babies. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $15,000 will place a machine, an ultrasound machine, in a needy women's center, saving countless lives for years to come. To donate, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
I watched them try to kill that man, literally, and I can attest to the torture that was inflicted on him, just like what they're doing to those Jan Sixers right now. So everything that man says is true, because I can attest to it. I watched it happen.
That was the voice of Ryan Nichols. They were in the D.C. gulag at the same time for a time. You know, they started rotating these guys all over the country. They had a name for that. They didn't like the camaraderie that they developed in some of these prisons, especially in the D.C. gulag. And so they would just kept moving them and moving them. And so in spite of what Julie was reporting in that report at the top of the show 3 years ago, they never let Chris out. He never got the treatment that he needed. And so you've heard him talk, at least tell part of his story. We have part two in the next podcast. But I've asked Bruce, my sweetheart, who was a former federal prosecutor and also former, a retired FBI agent, to join me to just talk about this, honey. As a prosecutor in Chicago, do you think that any of the jails that you had to deal with in Chicago had conditions like that?
Well, Cook County Jail, which was the local jail in Chicago, was notorious for being horrible. I mean, too many people, very, very violent people, recidivist, they basically grew up in the Cook County Jail. And the gangs were there, and the gangs really ran a lot of what I would call the administration of the jail. Now, I never heard those kind of things about the federal jail in Chicago. I never heard about torture. Look, it's not a vacation, and no one is there for a vacation. But you're there to be met with your human needs, not to be
tortured,
unnecessarily tortured or picked on, or alienated, or selected for brutality. That is, and I did not hear about those things happening. I think, though, when the January Sixers arrived at the Bureau of Prison and at the D.C. Gulag, there was a whole new set of rules set up for them. And I think all you have to do is start at the top with the Biden administration. Biden and his cabinet, how they characterize the J-6ers as insurrectionist, threat to democracy. Well, you start labeling people like that, and you're the president, and the people at the BOP, they know where their bread is buttered, and that is they're working for the administration. I guess you would say you respond in kind. And what I've seen out of the January Sixers is they were targeted. They were selected for special treatment, shall we say. And by special, I don't mean good. And you can see it all the way through the system. It didn't matter where these guys were at, whether it was down here in Florida, if it was in D.C., if it was in North Carolina. We've heard the stories from one after another. And these guys are not sissy kind of guys. I mean, they're not wallflowers that are, you know, can't take any kind of rough treatment. But when you hear what they experienced, I don't think there's any doubt that, listen, for a federal judge who disliked the J6ers to go ahead and hold some of the jail people in contempt, that says a lot. Can you imagine what it had to be for him to finally say, okay, I'm holding you in contempt?
No, I in this Epoch Times report back in November of 2021, Bruce, this is November 2021. This is what they're reporting. Prison guards routinely shut off water to cells as punishment, and multiple cells had large amounts of standing human sewage, urine, and feces in the toilets. Additionally, guards were observed antagonizing detainees, and hot meals were observed being served cold and congealed. I remember them talking, these guys telling me they had bugs in their food and sometimes just no food. And they were in solitary confinement for 22 out of 24 hours a day for days, you know, weeks and months on end, years on end.
Yeah, and I think we know what one of the parts of the plan was, and that was to break the spirit of the J6ers. You know, we've heard many of them tell stories about how they would form a network, and they would communicate with each other, whether it be in person or by, you know, tapping on the cell walls or singing at night the national anthem, whatever they could do to give themselves some camaraderie and let each other know, hey, we got your back, you know, you're not in this alone. And you can see by the type of behavior you just described from the guards, depriving them of food. The thing about that, depriving them of haircuts and shaves. I mean, what does that accomplish?
And bathing.
Other than just to try to break your spirit. I don't want to go as far as saying inhumane treatment, but that's the kind of thing that you saw like in Vietnam when our prisoners came home. They had been denied those kind of rights. That should not be happening in America. I don't care who the prisoner is, and especially for these guys, because most of them were in there for minor things. And they're not murderers. They're not rapists. And they weren't insurrectionists either. They were guys that like walked through the Capitol, guys that tried to defend people that were being overly policed. You know, a lot of them had what I would call justifiable reasons for doing what they had done. Yep.
There's another one more kind of account. Now, these are from official sources. This is Avis Buchanan, the director of the Public Defender Service for the District of Columbia. This is the statement Avis made. The inhumane conditions have included long-term solitary confinement for people with no disciplinary issues, lack of running water, full illumination of cells for 24 hours per day, resulting in sleep deprivation, cells soiled with feces and blood, lack of air conditioning during the summer and heat during the winter, lack of proper medical care, failure to provide mental health treatment, and physical and mental abuse by correctional offices of people in their custody. I want to read one more thing to you, Bruce.
Well, real quick on that, Sandy. Yeah. How much uproar did we hear from the public when these so-called CIA secret jails were made public? And they were facilities run by the CIA where they would take terrorist subjects
overseas
and put them in there and deprive them, do many of the things that are listed as what was done to the J6ers. And there was such an uproar, and those things were made to be closed, and people got, you know, careers ruined over that. But then here we have it right in plain sight in Washington, D.C.,
yeah, exactly.
The nation's capital. You've got people being treated like this by a federal agency or a state and local
agency. Actual terrorists from 9/11, the mastermind in Gitmo, they were treated so well, they gained an average of 20 pounds each. They had gyms, they had basketball, they had everything they wanted.
I can tell you from personal experience, I went down to Guantanamo Bay, Gitmo, to watch part of the trial, and you saw the defendants, KSM and his gang, who actually were pleading for the death penalty and were proud of what they did, and they killed thousands of Americans, and they were treated with kid gloves.
Literally. It was disgusting. I know you went to a trial and watched it. And did you say, like, there was a woman there who had a crush on KSM.
Oh, yeah.
Sheikh Mohammed, right?
We had a gallery that was behind a glass partition. The court was being held on the other side of the glass partition, and we were able to sit in some bleachers. And there was a woman sitting in there with us. And many of the people in that gallery were 9/11 families whose loved ones had been killed in 9/11. And the court took a break, and KSM, he's just wandering around the courtroom on his own. He came up to the glass partition that separated us, and there was a woman who was sitting in the bleachers with us who was one of his sycophants.
American.
Yeah, and she was telling him how wonderful he was and blowing kisses towards him, and the place went into an uproar because this is happening literally feet from the families of people who had been killed in 9/11. And I was absolutely outraged that this was allowed to happen. And really, all they did, the authorities there, was ask that woman to sit down. They did not eject her. They did not throw her out of the proceedings. They let her stay there, just told her, don't do that.
And this all happened under President Obama. Remember, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed was the mastermind of the 9/11 attack, killing nearly 3,000 Americans. Yeah. So that's how twisted our justice system has become. Well, we're not finished with Chris Worrell. We have another session with him. Really, it's not enjoyable. It's painful to listen. But I do hope that you're so moved that you will help him. Again, the address is givesyngo.org/4Patriot Support. givesyngo.org/4Patriot Support to help Chris Worrell and his wife, Trish. And, of course, always remember to keep him in your prayers. Hey, listen, we thank you for listening today. And it wouldn't be possible for me to bring you this show without the help from Timothy Plan, because they allow you, show you how to put your money where your values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-TIM-PLAN. Well, thanks for listening to Sandy Rios 24/7.